How's it going, Marco? How's the back?
Hey guys, morning. Back. It's gotten a little bit better. Slowly improving. But it's not where I'd like it to be yet.
So what is the hope for you that it's going to be back to where you want it to be? Like, are you hoping to pitch when baseball resumes?
I'm not sure. I was striving for that. I just don't know where my back's going to be. But if I don't think I can compete at a high level, then I'm not going to, I'm not just going to sign with someone just to sign. I want to give, a team everything I have. So we'll just wait and see. I still need more time. I'm not where I want to be right now. But I am working out. I'm trying everything out. And if not, I just want to live a healthy life. And so I'm trying to improve no matter what.
Yeah, man. So, like, how's your self-isolation going? Because, yeah, you said you're working out. I'm assuming that you have access to some stuff at home. But, like, how has that affected the day-to-day? How has that affected the way that you've been trying to get back? Has it felt a little derailed?
A little bit. A lot of the gyms are closed now. Actually, most of them are closed. I think there's a different one I go to that's still opened because it's a smaller gym and it's kind of a private gym, so it's a one-on-one. So there's one or two people in there while I'm working out, and that's it. So that place is still open, so that's good. But I think they're going to shut down pretty soon. And then the PT part of it.
No, go ahead.
The PT part, they're starting to slow down also. So we'll see. But everyday life hasn't really changed much other than the kids being home every day and having to basically be a teacher. That's been a little tough. You have to go over everything with them nowadays. And because they're home, they don't really want to do the homework, and they don't want to do the work because they just want to, play with their toys and be on the iPads and whatnot. So that's been a little tough, but other than that, it's been great. It's been easy still. I'm a homebody, so things for me haven't really changed.
So I was talking about this with Ben on the phone the other day because he has kids. I have no kids. And I'm just trying to stay busy and call people and I don't know, be a little bit active outside, like get out for runs at night and still try to get the odd like piece of exercise in, eat healthy. But like my focus isn't extend past me. He's got to worry about two kids, but his two kids are not in school yet. So he doesn't have to learn anything. How old are your kids? Like what grades are they in? Because I was trying to think about this the other day. I don't think I could teach a kid grade 4 math. Like I think that if they were like, oh, here's the grade 4 math assignment, I'd be like, oh, well, I would have to go to the iPad. I'd be looking for, like, teacher apps, math apps. I used to have Math Blasters as a kid. It was a computer game. It's like that's what I'd be relying on. I'd be totally screwed.
Yeah, my kids are 9 and 7, so my daughter is in 4th grade. And they're in a chartered school, so they're a year or two advanced compared to this year. Normal school, I guess. And it's her math is kind of hard already. Luckily, that was the one subject that I was okay at. But I have gone back and I had to review a few things just to, oh, that's right, that's how you do that. And then I'd be able to help her. But my son's in first, so his stuff's really easy right now. But the patience is what's hard right now. Because a lot of, like I said, they don't really want to sit down and do everything. But yesterday was a long day. We knocked out, I think, 4 or 5 different subjects, and it was a good day.
So how strict, like how disciplined are the teaching sessions? Are you like standing in front of them? They have to sit down and take notes? Are you doing like quizzes?
Is there detention?
No quizzes yet. So the schools did send out packages, and we're just going over everything. I think it's either Thursday or Friday, they have a test, a spelling test. But yeah, it's been I've been standing right over them. We didn't have the TV on yesterday. My wife's doing most of the work. I can't lie. she was right there next to him, sitting down and going over everything. And I kind of just stood. And if they didn't want to listen, I'm going to be the bad guy and kind of get on them about paying attention.
I would just be like, the hard part for me would be, especially if they were older. Like right now, it's still like you're only cheating yourself. But if your kid's trying to get in university, right? Your kid's 16 years old and the test is being administered in your house. You're not going to be like, hey, let's do some Googling here. let's get these answers down right. We're trying to get into Dartmouth, son. Like, we're not trying to like, go to community college. Let's cheat some of these answers. Like, I feel like there's going to be some kids whose grades during the unsupervised time.
Felicity Huffman went to prison for that. I mean, no big deal.
Yeah, I guess that's true. It's a risky proposition. But who's watching the watchers right now? That's what I want to know. How are they doing this? Like, how are they making sure that kids aren't cheating? Ben, you're telling me you wouldn't help your kid cheat if it was the difference between a good school and a bad school in this situation?
Oh,
give me a
my
break.
Goodness. Listen, I have a 19, 20-year-old daughter and or sister-in-law, and she's taking a college final, like a university final, from home. I have no idea how that's supposed to work, but I guess, yeah, there's got to be some oversight in some way. I don't know. I guess they're going to be like, wow, look at the grading curve. Everybody got 99s in this 2020 year. Incredible.
Geniuses. They're going to fix the planet. They're going to fix climate change. We're going to have a vaccine in a couple of weeks. Like, we got super geniuses working here. This generation, baby, save the day. Let's go.
Speaking of cheating, so I went back in your game log in 2017, Marco, to see how your starts went against the Houston Astros, and specifically in Houston, if you started. You did start once in Houston. We know it was happening in 2018, too, and your 2018 start was pretty good, too. But in 2017, in the height of Houston Astros cheating, do you remember what you did in that game in Houston?
This was at home for us? Or
no, in Houston.
Was the game on the... Oh, it was in Houston? No, I don't remember anything.
Well, I can't believe you didn't go back and check your stats from that game just once you heard the scandal broke.
Yeah, no, and you would have liked what you saw because it was an up-and-down year for you. But, yeah, you went 7 in this game, giving up just 3 runs on 5 hits. It was a couple of dingers, but, yeah, man, you were just too good. Like, there's no amount of cheating that could bring down Marco Estrada.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, I knew of the game that I pitched at home against them, and I think that was almost the same line. It was a pretty good pitch game. And I do recall, I don't remember a trash can being hit. I remember a lot of whistling going on, but I thought it was a fan. So that was, yeah, once I heard about all this, it kind of made a little more sense. And, you know, I'm glad things went well for me, but there are guys that, you know, lost jobs because of this, and those are the people that it's very unfair for. It's unfair for everybody, and obviously it's something that should have been done, but it's I don't really have much thought about it, to be honest.
Well, I mean, there was conversations, I imagine, at the time, but I'm sure there were conversations about a lot of teams doing a lot of different stuff. Like, how did you view Houston and going to Houston any differently than any other teams? You were always trying to protect your signs, or did you know, like, that's something especially weird that's happening with that Astros team, and especially in that building?
Yeah, I think guys were aware of this, and our meetings were a little bit different. I think we were always told to kind of switch our signs up, and me being the stubborn, you know, veteran guy that I was during my last year, I didn't care for switching anything. I said, listen, if I make my pitches, then I'm going to hit it. And that was my thought going in. And like you said, 17 and 18, I guess they were a decent start. 19, I had a start against them, and that didn't go very well, but I was also throwing 82 miles an hour, so it's kind of hard to pitch for me. But yeah, I think, you know, if you hit your spots, yeah, it makes it easier for them knowing what's coming, especially when a guy like me that doesn't throw very hard, and, you know, if you know a changeup's coming, that kind of takes everything away from me. But I think if it's located, it still makes it really hard to hit.
Hey, man, so we're obviously without sports and being a major sports network. The move automatically is to replay old games, right? Like, it's just like, what's on TV tonight? Mm-hmm. Old games, baby. Like, you better believe that we're getting some 92 World Series in, we're getting some Raptors games in, and we're getting a lot of the 2015 season. And yesterday they aired a game that I actually didn't see because I was at a cottage at that time in the summer. It was the comeback from down 8-1 against the Red Sox in 2015. And I was curious because we were going to get to talk to you today. Do you remember what the locker room shift was when Alex Anthopoulos went out that deadline and got Tulo and got Price? How things changed basically the first day those guys stepped into the clubhouse?
Oh, man. I mean, you're talking about two huge veteran presence, you know, just obviously what they've done on the field was incredible, and we knew that was a huge boost. But, you know, what they bring inside the clubhouse, their presence, you know, the way they go about their business, it definitely pumped us up big time. And my agent's the same agent that Tulo has, and I knew about this. I wasn't supposed to speak about it or whatever, but he was telling me this, there could be a possibility of him going there, and I couldn't believe it. You know, Tulo was, especially when he was healthy, one of the best shortstops ever to play the game. And, you know, we needed a little help there, and picking up a guy like that just meant a lot. And then having David Price, one of the best starters, come in, and a huge, huge help in the clubhouse and on the field, off the field, everything. Great guy. It pumped us all up, and they were everything we wanted them to be. You know, they showed up and just killed it for us.
Yeah. I mean, 2015, that was a fun time, and yeah, we're going to have fun re-watching those games. It didn't end the way we wanted it to, especially. Yeah, Game 6 could have definitely gone a different way. It didn't. But are you like the rest of us? Like, do you go back? Have you gone back and re-watched any of those games? Are you interested in seeing any of them again?
I mean, no, I haven't really gone back to look at any of it. If anything, I've gone back just to see a few, like, mechanics of mine when I felt really good. And I don't know if that was one of the games I went back and looked at, but I guess I have gone back. But this was last year when I was still playing, you know, just trying to get everything back to normal. And those were the only times I was going back to look at anything. But as of late, no, I haven't seen anything. Kind of my mind's been off of baseball right now. I'm trying to focus on my body and my family, and especially now with this whole coronavirus thing going on, you know, you focus on that and just want to keep everybody healthy. But, you know, those games do get brought up, and they're fun to talk about. It is crazy that, you know, we didn't win the whole thing with a team like that, and we felt invincible during that time. I'm not gonna lie. I mean, like I said, those two guys showed up, and we just thought, man, that's it. We're gonna win it all. And during the season, you saw the way we changed, how well we played. If we lost a game, it was like, okay, that was a fluke. We're just going to go on another 10-game winning streak, and we would do that. So it was a lot of fun. But, yeah, I haven't really gone back and looked at any game lately.
Mm. Yeah, we don't need to talk about
it. That's baseball.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about a couple of those calls. Yeah, and, like, pretty clearly you guys are better than the Royals. No big deal. But, yeah, we don't have to go down that path because, I mean, just everybody knows it. Marco, we appreciate the time. Best of luck with the back and getting back to baseball. And enjoy Mr. Professor at home.
Yeah. I need to have my coffee before I get started with that.
See you, Marco.
So thank you guys so much for having me on. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.